Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed time to tap into the truth. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are, wherever you have been, and whatever you may have been doing today. It is, of course, still just barely the 17th of March. Therefore, it is St. Patrick's Day, and I hope everybody enjoyed their St. Patrick's Day. Trying something a little different. Going to try to do a few short broadcasts of the week, as well as looking at the same regular two-hour format on the weekends. I'm going to go ahead and tell you about this upcoming Sunday also. Those of you who are regular listeners, hope you get an opportunity to check it out, because we will have two guests, or at least I've got two tentatively at this point, looking to solidify the second one. First, at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking to Oklahoma State Senator Silk, Republican. He's lead sponsor of a bill that's designed to help protect small businesses from legal consequences of their religious objections. We've all heard the stories about the cake maker who refused to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding. We've heard the stories about other people that refuse to serve same-sex wedding activities, whether it be photographers, cake makers, whatever. We've seen the legal ramifications when these business people have faced the consequences of the state coming in and saying, "I'm sorry, you've broken the law. This is discrimination." And as a result, this gentleman has introduced his bill, and, well, needless to say, not at all unexpectedly, we have seen pushback from the gay and lesbian community, and unfortunately, as is apt to happen in cases like this, a few folks have taken it a little too far. As a result, there have been threats made, even against this gentleman's children. So he's going to be on Sunday. We're going to be talking to him about that. We're going to have him a chance to explain the bill, give us the full rundown, tell us what it really is as opposed to what some of the media may be saying, and we'll also talk about some of that pushback and some of the response and how he and his family are dealing with it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to return respect to this country, respect for one another, and we've got to learn that the people that have thrown their hat in the ring, the people that are politicians, they have very little to do with their children. Okay, that didn't come out right. Their children have very little to do with them. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's leave them out of it, shall we? All right, now, also, second hour, tentatively. Right now I'm scheduled to have friend of the show, Master Gunsmith Cody Stockton, come on. We talked last Sunday right here about the proposed ammunition ban by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And I warned you then that the fight wasn't over. Don't catch chickens before they hatch. Don't expect that this is a done deal. Don't think that just because they say we're not pursuing it at this time, that it means that it's done. And sure enough, first thing Monday morning, a small group of Democrats tried to introduce legislation that would ban not only the ammunition in question from the ATF ban, the M855 green tips, but also a whole class of ammunition that goes with. Well, the reason I've got Cody Stockton coming on is we're going to discuss what the green tips actually were designed for, how completely ineffective they are as a armor piercing or a body armor piercing bullet. And in fact, something I found very interesting, that right now there's a large number of them available. But this is a problem that if you really are concerned about just this ammo, it will go away on its own soon. So we'll talk about all of that in the second hour of the show. Plus, hopefully we can touch on a few other items as well. Because I first reached out to him because we had a ton of gun-type legislation going on in our state house this past week. So many, in fact, they were referring to it, the media was referring to it as Gun Week. So at any rate, that's what's coming up. That's what's coming on Sunday. So join us. We'll be starting at 3 o'clock Eastern right here, and we'll be live on the air, and the phone lines will be open, and we'll be talking. You guys can call in. You can jump in the chat room then. We can do whatever. Chat room is not open tonight, however, because this is about a brief. I'm getting to today's topic. Will the Supreme Court finally make a ruling when it comes to same-sex marriage? Okay, folks, boys and girls, pull up your socks, grab your hats, hang on. And if you haven't already done it yet, you need to circle April 28th, 2015 on your calendars. That's the day that the Supreme Court of the United States is slated to start hearing oral arguments in the Obergefell versus Hodges case. Now, why does this case matter to so many people living in the United States? This is the case that will, at least for the foreseeable future, settle the question of same-sex marriage at the federal level. The Supreme Court of the United States has heard cases in recent years involving the question of same-sex marriage, but they have carefully and intentionally avoided handing down rulings based on the merit of the constitutionality of same-sex marriage or by ruling that cases didn't belong in front of the court because of a lack of standing. They've intentionally avoided ruling on the constitutionality. They've forced themselves to find rulings on different merits in the case. It was done in hopes of avoiding directly ruling on what is unquestionably one of the biggest societal hot potatoes possibly ever. The hope was that our society would settle the question without it having to be adjudicated. But the passions on both sides of the question have forced the issue to the highest court in the land. Now, as far as the members of the court are concerned, nothing has changed. They have absolutely no desire to issue a ruling on this question, but they're not going to have much of an option, I'm afraid. No matter how the case works out, there is no way for the individual votes not to seem political, and there will be a number of Americans unhappy with the outcome regardless of which outcome they get. But no matter how hard they try, no matter how much they try to wiggle and worm their way around, there is no dancing away from it this time due to the case itself because of the two issues at the heart of it. Issue number one, does the 14th Amendment require a state to license a marriage between two people of the same sex? And issue number two, does the 14th Amendment require a state to recognize a marriage between two people of the same sex when their marriage was lawfully licensed and performed out of state? So ultimately what this means is that even if the court decides that this is strictly a state issue and not a federal issue, which the criteria for insurance of marriage licenses has always been a state right, they would then in effect be ruling that there is no constitutional protections for those seeking to marry people of the same sex. And while that would be devastating to the LGBT community, it is entirely possible that even some of the more liberal justices might vote that way just the same. Because the bottom line is, there is no constitutional right to marriage for anyone. Go ahead, read the Constitution. Take a look around. It's not in there. Now, the argument for federal intervention on behalf of same-sex couples is being pulled from the 14th Amendment, where the so-called Equal Protection Clause is found. The pro-same-sex marriage peoples claim that once a state has marriage laws established, that the state must then apply those laws equally. Although, there are a number of people that say either way, same-sex legal, same-sex illegal, those states do apply the law equally because all people must wed or not under the same restrictions in order to be recognized by the state. Now, before you can decide if the 14th Amendment is or should be a factor in this argument, you must first know what it says. So, here's the part that matters. And in fact, only Section 1 of the 14th Amendment does, because of how it ends. But here's the whole Section 1. I'm not going to read the other sections. If you want to know what they are, do your own research, dig a little deeper, do a little tapping into the truth on your own. But here's Section 1. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Now, just some background in case you're not familiar, this was one of the Reconstructionist amendments focused on the very notion and idea of helping the country put itself back together after what we call the Civil War. Although we've discussed in the past, it wasn't truly a Civil War by definition. At any rate, topic for a different night. But as you can see, based on the wording here, this amendment was concerned with guaranteeing that former slaves were treated as equal members of our nation. This is focused on protecting their rights to be free, safe, and to hold property. In context of the Reconstruction, it certainly wouldn't seem to apply to the question of same-sex marriage, but the equal protection of the laws argument has been used to protect minorities from discrimination ever since Reconstruction. And, you know, many folks see this fight as exactly that, an effort to protect a minority from discrimination. Now, I personally feel that ultimately this is, has been, and should forever be a state's right, and that the people of each state should decide for themselves. I think that the Supreme Court should rule that there is, in fact, no constitutional right for anyone to marry, period, and therefore the federal government has no power to interfere with the state's right to establish their own criteria for recognizing such a union. When the framers got together, they didn't put anything into the Constitution about marriage because at that time it was only thought of as a religious union and that government had no business being involved anyway, a sentiment that I would think many of the folks on the left side of the political spectrum would get behind considering their feelings about separation of church and state. But before you just dismiss my thinking on this as, you're just a right winger. Understand that I am a little more libertarian on this issue than most of my conservative friends. In fact, I take a lot of flack about it, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you've heard what I think about same-sex marriage. So this isn't something new. I'm not coming out on the record for the first time here. I've told you how I feel about it, and I will be happy to do so again. I take a lot of flack from some of my more staunch conservative friends and some of my more religious right friends on this particular issue. So, and, you know, while I do understand those fighting for the one man, one woman definition, either for religious reasons or in an effort just to protect our culture, I both understand and I applaud them for taking a stand. But I personally tend to agree with the framers. I see true marriage as a faith union, regardless of what the state recognizes. So the definition of marriage isn't changed no matter what the state decides. In the end, it's up to you to pursue your happiness, and no law or court case or group of staunchy politicians can change that. You will stand and answer for what you've done. I don't condone it. I don't have to condone it. But here in the United States, I don't have the moral authority to tell you you have to bow to my moral code. And you don't have the moral authority to tell me that I have to bow to yours. My rights end where yours begin, your rights end where mine begin. That is simple, straight to the point, and one of the most cherished tenets of the very notion of liberty in this nation. It doesn't matter what each state decides. This should still be a state issue. But the Supreme Court still has to decide. Does the 14th Amendment, does it apply? Because it's the only place that they have the least bit of an argument for it. Otherwise, there is no constitutional grounds to make an argument. It just doesn't exist. There is no point where our federal courts can intervene on behalf of individuals over this issue. I would even go so far as to say that states that do not accept same-sex marriage should also be free to pass laws making it far more difficult for someone to just, I don't know, let's say Tennessee decided to accept same-sex marriage. Now, we've got several borders states circling this, Kentucky, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina, Arkansas. You know, we've got a nice little group of folks around us. If the folks in Alabama decided that they were not going to recognize same-sex marriage, it should also not be legal. In fact, I'd even go back and refer to the 14th Amendment about defining the state in which you live as being your residence. It shouldn't be legal for somebody to just hop across the border, get married here, and then go back and expect to be recognized. Now, the states do have this wonderful little thing where we generally do recognize a great number of things like marriages and driver's license for X amount of time before you have to get your new one if you change states of residency. But I see absolutely nothing wrong with the idea of a state passing a law saying, unless you're changing your residency, we will not recognize such a union. And ultimately, that's what this still comes back to for me. And this is the part that I try to argue with my religious friends who keep talking about the one man, one woman argument, the one man, one woman definition of marriage. And that is, we're not really talking about marriage. We're talking about what the state recognizes as a specific type of civil union. That's what we're talking about. The state doesn't have a role in marriage. And when I say, as I did earlier, that it's a faith union, no matter what your faith is, whether it's even of a religious nature or not, when you choose to be wed with someone, you're joining with each other in a way that is spiritual, that it goes beyond just the physical, and it goes beyond just the what's convenient. Although, you know, since most marriages in this country end in divorce, perhaps not enough people understand that part. But ideally in marriage, you're pulling yourselves together and you're joining in a way that goes beyond convenience, that is a spiritual union. And it is a faith union. You have faith in one another that you shall be loyal. You have those type of unions with people before you decide to go get a license. It exists. True marriage exists before you perform a ceremony in front of people. So in my mind, we're not discussing marriage. We're discussing a civil union. And no matter what we try to do, we can't control what a state decides it's going to accept as a civil union. There are people fighting over the word marriage. They want to redefine what the word means. They can try. And that's part of what I say when I'm talking about understanding what the culture warriors are talking about when they stand up for one man, one woman definition of marriage. They're trying to help save the American culture from falling to the same level of debauchery that we saw in the last death throes of the Roman Empire, where all sorts of things were happening. And we've talked before about how the similarities of where America is right now and where the Roman Empire was in the decades leading up to its demise is eerily similar. We need culture warriors. And this isn't about discrimination. There's a group of people that want to convince everybody that it is discrimination, that it is about these people are just against you. And no. That's not what it's about. I have implored the gay and lesbian community in the past on the show to take a long, hard look at the people that are in their corner, that are supporting them, that are giving them money. A lot of them are just well-intended people that genuinely care about other people, and they see something that they think is unfair. But the big bucks, and the major organizers, they're after something else. Those are the so-called progressives. Those are the folks that are so busy trying to divide us up and slap labels on us and keep us in tiny little boxes that they make it impossible for us to see, once again, as I keep trying to say to everybody, we have far more in common than we have differences. So that's it. Write it down on your calendars. Be ready. Pay attention. If you haven't heard about it yet, you're certainly going to hear about it over the next couple of weeks. I mean, you've got a little over a month before this gets underway. April 28th, 2015. Supreme Court's going to start hearing the oral arguments then. Be ready. Obergefell versus Hodges. This is the one. The Supreme Court is either going to stand up and say, yes, the 14th Amendment does in fact guarantee constitutional protections for same-sex marriage, or they're going to say, no, it doesn't, or they're going to say, this is a state's issue, which still, in effect, is them, whether they directly say it or not, saying that, no, the Constitution does not give you protection. there will be no dancing away from it. There's no wiggle room there. They have to make a choice. Looking strictly at the Constitution, I don't see how they find a choice any differently than throwing it back to the states. But it wouldn't be the first time that this court has gotten something wrong. And by wrong, I simply mean saying something is constitutional when it clearly isn't. Not saying, not commenting about the morality of the topic. Just simply commenting about the court not necessarily following the Constitution. Not that that should be that surprising. After all, if our government, regardless of which branch, was following the Constitution, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in. Going to have to go ahead and end things tonight. Hope you enjoyed listening and hope that tonight's topic was at least informative, if not somewhat entertaining. Also, again, keep in mind, this Sunday, two guests scheduled. There'll be some great conversation. Hope you'll tune in. Don't forget, you can also find the podcast afterwards at Stitcher.com. You can find us at TuneIn.com. You can also find us at iTunes. A few other places, if you look around, according to what I've seen, we keep popping up. But remember, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Take a little time, do your own research. Be prepared to put in a little bit of effort. You're going to have to do some work. Use your brain and be ready. So you got to work for it if you want to tap into the truth. That's it for tonight. Hope everybody had a great St. Patrick's Day, and we'll be back again soon. Good night, everybody. Everything is gonna change. Hoping I come back enough.